Chapter 33. Several days pass, and still there is no sign of Kartik's red scarf. I worry that he's met with misadventure. I worry that when he returns I will not be able to help him with Amar. I worry that he will not return at all, but will travel on to Bristol and the Orlando. Such worry has put me in an ill humour. Already we have suffered the ignominy of walking backward, as we shall do when presented to Her Majesty at St. James's Palace. I stumbled twice, and I cannot imagine how I shall manage with the long train of my gown thrown over my left arm, my head bowed toward my sovereign. It makes my stomach hurt to think of it. Mrs. Nightwing has settled us at the dining-room table. At each of our places is a daunting array of silver. Soup spoons, oyster forks, fish knives, fish forks, butter knives, dessert spoons. I half expect to see a whaling harpoon, and perhaps, in case we find it all too overwhelming and wish to die with honour, the seppuku sword of Japanese legend. Mrs. Nightwing drones on. I find it difficult to pay attention, and only catch every few sentences. The fish course. The bones, pushed to the side of the plate. Buttermilk, by the by, preserves the softness of a lady's hands. The vision steals over me quickly. One moment I am listening to Mrs. Nightwing's voice, and the next, time stands still. Mrs. Nightwing is frozen at Elizabeth's side. Felicity's eyes are trained on the ceiling in an expression of utter boredom. Cecily and Martha, too, are suspended in time. Wilhelmina Wyatt stands in the open doorway, wearing a grim expression. "Miss Wyatt?" I call. Leaving my frozen companions, I chase after her. She stands at the top of the first flight of stairs, but when I reach the landing, she steps through the portrait of Eugenia Spence and vanishes like a ghost. "Miss Wyatt?" I whisper. I am suddenly alone. The very bones of the school seem to murmur to me. I cover my ears, but it does not stop the ghastly whispers, the muffled cackles, the hissing. The peacock paper on the walls comes alive, the eyes blinking. Wilhelmina's spidery handwriting emerges on the portrait of Eugenia Spence. "The Tree of All Souls, the Tree of All Souls, the Tree of All Souls." It fills the whole of the painting. The whispers grow louder. I put my hand to the painting, and it's as if I fall straight through it and into another time and place. I am in the great hall, but it's changed. I see what must surely be Miss Moore as a girl, the brooding concentration on her face. A girl with startling green eyes smiles at her, and I gasp as I recognise my own mother. "Mama?" I call, but she does not hear me. It is as if I'm not really here. An older woman with white hair and blue eyes sits with them, and I know her too, Eugenia Spence. The face that seems so intimidating in her portrait is kind here, bright and ruddy with life.